to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. That bastion of free speech, it is a place so free where we can speak so freely that we can have guests that other places can't have. We can do that. We can do that on this show because John Stadtmiller has built a network and he has invited on guests and he never tells us what to say. And so we say it. We say what we want to say, and that's a good thing. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation. And while you're at it, go check out nationalbugle.com. It is a amalgamation news website. I wouldn't say it's a daily website. It's more like a weekly magazine. So it's not so much for breaking news. It is for analysis. And Mark Dankoff puts up an awful lot of stories there. I put up some. And Jeremy recommends some. Go there at least once a week. Now, today's show, we have a very special guest. We have to help us break down last night's debate. We have none other than former Louisiana Representative David Duke. Welcome to the show.
Oh, great to be with you. It's fantastic. I know you really are a great addition to my program on the Rinse Radio Network. I'm very glad to be with you today and to try to give a little political perspective of a guy that's been in politics for a long time. I've won three different elections and served 4 years in Louisiana House of Representatives. And I have experience in the Republican Party primaries where I ran in a number of them. And I'm happy to offer my thoughts on the debates, on how the election's going and the meaning of this election for really America, Western civilization, and Western Christian civilization the world over, as well as the well-being of humanity, because I really believe that the biggest problem humanity faces is, believe it or not, I think we all understand this, Zionism and the power of Zionism over our politics, over our media, over our culture. And this is what I think is the most important issue mm-hmm. facing us, and this election is all about that, because mm-hmm. they're looking for total control, I believe.
So we had the debate last night, and I think the debate is very important in this election, and the election is very important for our future. And so, first of all, I just want to get your take on Donald Trump's overall performance. So, Donald Trump, great debater or the greatest debater?
I don't think he's the greatest debater. I don't think he's even really on a level. I mean, I'm been debating since junior high school and university, and I don't think he's in the top tier, but I really don't. I think that he recognized.
And I was asking that question in jest. Actually, it's kind of a reference to something Stephen Colbert used to ask.
I gotcha.
About George W. Bush, great president or the greatest president?
Yeah, I don't think that you were. I kind of thought you were saying it facetiously, and I agree with you. But yeah, I mean, I'm really shocked sometimes some of his faux pas and some of the mistakes he makes in debating. But he does have a pretty good idea of measuring people's sentiments, and it is true that Donald Trump copied my platform almost point by point. Successfully, what they're playing on CNN right now on the CNN network on their website is an interview that Donald Trump did with Larry King. And in the interview, King brings up my candidacy and asks Donald Trump, you know, what he thinks of my candidacy and how the issues that I bring up are going to affect the Republican Party and the country. And he said very seriously, he said, if David Duke runs for president, he's going to get a lot of votes. And he said that if Patrick Buchanan also run, there's a good chance that they would keep Bush from winning, which is kind of interesting. So that's really an amazing. So he really knew who I was. He later said at one point he didn't know who I was. He knew who I was. And he had to know that he was adopting most of my essential issues. America first, getting our trade policy so we protect American industry and business, not being invested in these terrible, horrific wars, which he didn't define them as Zionist wars, but even on the one of the more recent campaign stops he made, one of the recent rallies, he actually said to the crowd, well, the reason why we were in Afghanistan, the reason why we were fighting in Iraq was for Israel, which is an amazing, you know, confession that the Jewish establishment really
Dr. Duke, have we lost you or have we lost me? Okay, well, that's the same. We'll try to get Dr. Duke back. In the meantime, then, I guess I have to filibuster. And so once he comes back, make sure that I'm alerted to that. The next question I was going to ask him, so I'm just putting this out here right now, is... You know, it's true. Oh, it's true that Donald Trump in 2016, he ran on a platform, like Dr. Duke mentioned, of restricting immigration. Number one, that was his number one issue. On he didn't speak all that clearly about it, but he did speak repeatedly about stopping wars, making friends with Russia. He said he thought he could. If he couldn't, he couldn't, but he thought he could. These types of things. He didn't speak all that articulately about it. He did speak a lot about trade, renegotiating trade deals, which is one of the few things actually he has carried through on. And there was perhaps some implicit dog whistling that he would represent the interests of kind of the forgotten white middle class. It was never explicit, but maybe implicit. And he really didn't follow through on those things. And then in the debate last night regarding those three issues, not trade, but those other three issues, he did what I guess he utilized Sean Hannity style narratives as opposed to maybe more David Duke style narratives from 2016. So and what I mean by that, I watched the debate on Nick Fuentes's live stream, and I guess Nick Fuentes used the term boomer con. I don't know if he used it, but I think he implied it. And obviously, it's not only boomers. You don't have to be of a certain age to make these types of arguments, but it is something that you could probably fairly characterize as boomer con. And for instance, with regards to systemic racism, there was a question on the talk. So the Miss Welker, whatever her name was, who was the moderator, she said, in every brown and black family, there comes a time when the parents have to have the talk with their children, warning them that at some point they'll be pulled over by a policeman and they will be at risk of being killed for no reason other than the hatred of melanin. And of course, you know, Joe Biden, he said, yes, I don't have to do that with my kids. I don't have to tell them to put their hands on the steering wheel and don't reach for the glove compartment because they're not going to get shot. And so he went full in on it. Donald Trump, when it was his turn, the first thing he says, yes, he just kind of agreed with the premise of the question and then immediately pivoted to saying that Joe Biden called black criminals super predators and sponsored and passed a law in the 1990s, a criminal reform act, which had minimum prison sentences and wound up locking up large numbers of African Americans, and he went on that. So that now he could have just, instead of pivoting to that, he could have done what Mike Pence did. I mean, you wouldn't think that Mike Pence would have the more based answers, so to speak, but Mike Pence rejected the premise of a similar question in his debate and said he didn't think that America was a systemically racist country. And that was actually the high point of his debate. Donald Trump didn't do that, didn't attempt to do that. He just tried to paint Joe Biden and the Democrats as the real racists and then touted everything that he has done for the black community. Now, it's fair if he wants to talk about all the economic opportunity that he provided to the black community. That's fine, but he could have used that the opportunity of that question, A, to reject the idea of systemic racism, and then B, to talk about the riots that have been going on, because the myth of systemic racism is what makes the riots possible. You know, most of the time, believe it or not, most of the time, you don't have black riots in cities, right? I mean, I don't know how many people can remember 2019. We weren't having that in 2019. We usually don't have that. But when you've got, A, the population being destabilized because of the coronavirus hoax, and then B, with this anti-white narrative, then you get the riot. So, Dr. Duke, are you with us again? Are you reconnected? And do you have your mute off? Okay, because we did lose you, and we're not hearing you yet. Okay, well, we will keep trying to get Dr. Duke reconnected. So that was probably a big lost opportunity there. Second was the discussion about Ukraine, and Donald Trump could have talked about, and he did say something about Russia hoax. He said something about it, but he didn't really dwell on it much. Rather, he said that he has been tougher on Russia than any other president. He's been the toughest on Russia. Well, of course, that's not what he was elected to do. He was elected to he's saying that he would try to make friends with Russia. And he did. He actually did try. And then he got stymied by the press. And so rather than saying that he was correct to try to make friends with Russia or say that Russia is not a threat to the United States or that you know they're actually very reasonable, instead of that, he just goes on, it's kind of you know, Democrats are the real racists. Well, it's like Republicans are the real cold warriors, or Trump is the real cold warrior. Trump is the real anti-Russia person. And that's a concession. And this is what we're seeing. We're just seeing concession after concession. The third issue where he just retreated, adopted the Democratic position, and then jumped up and down and pointed at Joe Biden and said, Joe Biden's not a good enough Democrat. I'm the real Democrat here, was on immigration. There was a segment where the segment was supposed to be on immigration. And rather than having, so the segment was introduced as immigration. Now we turn to immigration. That's what the moderator said. But then proceeded to ask a question about family separation at the border, as if that's the main issue with immigration. And Joe Biden, he had his turn at it, and Joe Biden said that he would immediately provide a pathway to citizenship for 11 million undocumented aliens. 11 illegal aliens. I've been saying 11 million for well over a decade, and we know it's. Who knows what? Trump could have. He didn't. Instead, he said, "Look, we're doing more for these people than anybody, and we're doing we're taking care of the dreamers that Biden and Obama had 8 years, and they did nothing, and we're taking care of them. And these cages that the kids are in, well, those cages were built by Biden and Obama."
Hello, can you hear me?
And now we have Dr. Duke.
Yeah, we had a network failure there. That happens to me a lot when I go on different programs. I don't know why.
Well, we've got 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes before the end of this segment. I just filibustered on what I thought were Donald Trump's opportunities. I don't know if you heard me, but why?
I didn't hear that. What was the last thing I said to you, if you can remember, before we got cut off, if that's memorable?
I don't know, because I've had to filibuster.
I realize you just don't know when.
But let me ask you this question.
Sure.
And we are going to skip the next break.
That's cool.
Let me ask you this. Regarding foreign policy, Donald Trump, he said that he was tougher on Russia than anyone else. Is that what he campaigned on?
No. Of course it's not. He campaigned on the idea that we should have relations with the only other legitimate, even though it's much less powerful than this superpower in the world, one that has nuclear weapons targeted in on each other's cities, and which makes a lot of sense to keep people safe and have decent relations with some, especially when you consider the fact that Russia is not communist anymore. I mean, the communists, obviously, the Soviet Union, under the Communist International, which created this revolution, the revolution took over Russia. It was not even simply a Russian revolution. It was a Zionist-led, a Jewish-led revolution from all over the world. And it was part of the Communist International, the common term. And it was part of an effort to take over the world for communism. And the Russian people had successfully, in just a few years, just a very short period of time ago, in the 1990s, starting in the late 40s and 50s, they began a process of removing these traditional communists. They started allowing Christianity again. They were allowing many aspects of private property. Very big turn. And they even Khrushchev in the 1950s went before the communist government. And as you know, I spent 5 years in Russia, so I'm very familiar with all this. And Khrushchev went in and talked about the mass murders and the killings, which are not tolerable. So that set the stage for the overthrow completely of communism in Russia. And we did have that. And no question about it. And at that point, once that occurred, the Zionists, the international Zionist elements, tried to control Russia through corruption, through what's called the Red Mafia. And of the 12 major oligarchs of Russia, 11 of them, in fact, were Jewish, very loyal to Zionism, and they really caused massive hunger and problems in Russia. So they took over Russia. So when we talk about Russia today, some ill-informed and ignorant conservatives think this is Russia, this is communist Russia trying to take over the world. No, the people who run Russia are not communists. They got rid of the hammer and sickle. They legitimately made the Russian Orthodox Christian Church the official faith of the country. Putin built 60,000 churches. They support everything that traditional conservatives would support: traditional marriage. They support slowing down the immigration into their country. They promote higher birth rates, less abortion. There was great deal of abortion under the communists. They support less of it for the Russian people. They support a higher birth rate. They support private property. And they let the other countries over which the Soviet Union controlled in this quest for domination, communist domination of the world, they let them go. They let go the Baltic countries, Latvia, Estonia, Lithuania. They let go Poland. They let go Hungary. They let go Romania. They let go Serbia. They let go all these countries. They even let Belarusia, which was much part of the Russian Empire, have their own distinct government. So it's very important to point out that when Trump was doing this, he wasn't talking about a country that wanted us to be an enemy of each other. The truth is, the Zionists made America an enemy of the government, of the anti-communist government of Russia. Far more so. We're far more militarist against this government. We moved weapons to the borders, which we didn't really do before. In fact, we couldn't do that because the Russians, borders were well inside Eastern Europe.
They had their own kind of security zone with their.
Yeah, remember the American
and satellite states as well.
That's right. Remember when the Americans? Remember when Russia back in the Cold War? Before all this overthrow of communism, when they moved some missiles into Cuba, it was looked as an existential threat. We almost went to a nuclear war, which had been devastating, not just for Russians and Americans by the millions, but it fundamentally destroyed our countries, probably Europe. It had probably been maybe the death knell of European mankind. But we almost went to war on that because we saw that as such an existential threat that their missiles could reach even our capitals in a moment of minutes. Yet we've moved nuclear tip missiles right to the border of Russia now, and which means they could reach Moscow in as short a time as they could have reached Washington D.C. So so we gotta understand this. And I'm sorry to go into this material, this background, but this is the background the Zio media and the Zio. Establishment doesn't.
That you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear from the media. That's for sure.
Right.
While we're on foreign policy, I have another question. So there was a lot of talk about China, and of course it came up not just in the foreign policy section, but because Joe Biden's son has gotten a lot of money from a Chinese energy company, it came up, and of course not just in the debate, but in a lot of places, including Tucker Carlson's otherwise pretty good show.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hostility voiced towards China. And, we've got our own domestic elite, a Jewish dominated elite that is causing so many problems for us. And it's certainly not the government of China that's changing our immigration policy or unleashing Black Lives Matter on our cities or whatnot. And to me, I think you've seen mixed martial arts fighting, UFC fighting before. And it's like you got a guy. One fighter on top of another fighter, and he's beating the heck out of him. And the guy who's on his back getting the tar beat out of him, instead of trying to defend himself, is pointing out into the audience, challenging another fighter who's sitting in the audience just watching. That's what it seems like to me. What do you think about that?
I think it's exactly correct. I think it's perfect. And I think you're exactly right about all of it. And I think it's really important to understand that when the Jewish control of communism, as far as the communist state, the Soviet state, was relinquished, and China began a process of its own, even though, and by the way, it's important to note that communism was brought to China from Jews, not by Russians, but by Jews. And yes, Russia had an alliance with them at one time, but eventually they split, basically. Even before the revolution of 1991, they began to split, and I think it was ethnic, and they saw each other as kind of a natural competitors. I think they pose each other as much now, and one reason why is because yes, they still called communist China, and they still use their red flag, but my God, there's no question that the China of Mao and the China of today is not the same at all. I mean, they allow private property, they will allow free enterprise, and here's the biggest. I've never even talked about this publicly before. I've written about this and read about this, and I don't even think I've talked about it with you. But look at it this way. When communism came to China, even Mao and the communist revolutionaries saw this as part of a worldwide dedicated revolution to free the world from, you know, the rest of the, you know, of the capitalists and the exploitation of people and have human rights, right? And they were part of this international. They were part of this. And Mao was supported, obviously, by communists all over the world, including the Jews. There was no question about Jewish establishment supported this. In fact, Jewish publications boast about the fact that Jews were the key, a lot of the key elements of advisors to Mao and brought communism to China. But let's get this straight here now. There's no question that the Chinese are our competitors. But I don't think the hostility, the military hostility of China is really about the fact that they're trying to take over the world or any sort of ideological thing for communism, because that's obviously not the case. They are not pushing. The Chinese are not pushing all over the world. They don't have these Chinese-supported communist groups all over the world they're supporting. You know where those are coming from? They're coming from Israel and the Jewish establishment, right? The Black Lives Matter, the biggest fundraiser is, of course, Ms. Rosenberg, Susan Rosenberg, right? The people that run these, you know, the Bolshevik New York Times, and I call it that. Maybe that sounds extreme, hyperbole. Maybe it is a bit. But they ran a big story just 2 years ago. You know, happy birthday, Karl Marx, the father of ideological communism in the world. You were right, right? Now, that's the New York Times. The New York, you know, this is not what the Chinese are doing. They're not sponsoring this communist ideology, this Bolshevik ideology at all. And they're certainly not supporting Zionism. They're not trying to take over the world. They are trying to make their country as strong as they can be economically. They also are really concerned about the fact that America is just about the only superpower left. And they're concerned because America did get involved in the revolution years ago, and they're concerned about America going to war against them. They're concerned about that, but I don't. And again, they're looking for their own economic advantage. They definitely want trade policies in their interest, and it's right for us to have trade policies in our interests. But this, you know, it's not Chinese who are overthrowing our civilization. It's the Zionists.
Right, and we have, like, our Zio run State Department and CIA that is meddling in Hong Kong, right? And all of that.
Exactly.
We only have about a minute before the break, but I want to ask one
but
area.
Did you think that analysis was correct? It's the first time I ever delivered it in that much as this. I'm not pretty long winded, but in that succinct a fashion. Did you agree with that analysis I just gave
absolutely.
You? The distinction?
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's amazing to me that you and I have had such close views since we got to know each other. You came from an entirely different
political background
spectrum. Yeah.
First letter to the editor I ever wrote was condemning President George H.W. Bush for not having denounced your gubernatorial run sooner. So you never know. You never know how things are going to work out. Well, we're coming up to the break real fast, but on the other side, I want to continue to ask. I want to ask about some more foreign policy questions.
Sure, let's do that. I'm enjoying this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my ease off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
But it's nice. It's good either way. And so we are back, and I am talking with former Louisiana Representative David Duke, also known as Dr. Duke since he got his PhD. And so, Dr. Duke, I want to just finish up on China. You were making the point that really needs to be made, that China, while it's ruled by a communist party, they're not lifting a finger to push communism in other countries.
Exactly.
And this is a point that doesn't get made, and it should get made.
The Chinese are not the ones who are trying to open our borders to the third world. They're not telling us that white people are evil. The Chinese are not trying to open our borders. The Chinese are not telling us that race is only a social construct. In fact, they very obviously want to preserve their own people in their own country. The Chinese are competitors, and mm-hmm. I am America first. And in fact, my order of loyalty may be, you know, to America, to my people, the people who built and created the American culture, government, constitution, values, traditions, the European people worldwide, and to really all of humanity. Because I know that if humanity is peaceful, and if humanity is not exploited, and we attempt to work in an atmosphere of peace, we're better. Everyone's better off. But in my loyalties, obviously, I'm for the interest of the American economy and the American people and the American heritage. And it's important for me to note this because what the enemies will say with my talk about this is that, well, you know, you're an apologist for communist China. Well, let me tell you, I'm no fan of China. I mean, because I know they're a competitor, and I'm more interested in preserving my industry and our people's families and well-being than having trade policies that damage our people. But the truth is, it's not China that's the existential threat to our people. The Chinese didn't orchestrate the massive immigration, the refugee crisis, for instance, in Europe. The Chinese did not orchestrate the massive change of American policy to leave our borders wide open and not enforce our immigration laws, and so that we have a demographic change that changed the legal immigration to discriminate against Europeans and make us basically ethnically cleanse America. That's been the Zionists, the people who are loyal to Israel and who are loyal to this global Zionist elite that has so much power in media, mm-hmm. so much power in government around the world. They have influence all over the place and so much power in our own political process here. The money is amazing how they control, and especially the media and even the internet today, which is the source of information for most of the world's population. Okay. Chinese aren't the ones who were trying to destroy Western civilization.
Right. Well, I have one more question about China before moving on to Iran. But let's with China. So I thought when Donald Trump, his initial policy towards China, which was renegotiating trade deals, and to the extent that he was talking about it as a trade war, but right. a friendly trade war, and he was still calling Xi his friend.
And he's still quite courteous to the Chinese, actually.
And, yeah, and I thought that was a good approach. I don't like the hostility, and you know that there are our main. They're a hostile foreign power. They're our main enemy. But, you know, they are a country. They've got 1.3 billion people who they're trying to lift out of poverty, and they have been. And they need a lot of resources from overseas. So they are going to be competing for resources overseas. But and the world's a big place. Now, Chinese involvement in Africa.
Right.
Because you had European involvement in Africa 100 sure. years ago, and you've had American involvement in Africa, and they were disasters. They were disasters, certainly for us. I don't know what we got out of Africa or what the Europeans got out of Africa that was worth all of the African migrants that they feel obligated to accept. You've got a massive population explosion in Africa, and you've got a lot of Chinese economic interest in Africa. So European rule in Africa was a disaster. Neocolonialism, or whatever you want to call it, has been a disaster. African home rule has been a disaster. How worried should we be about Chinese penetration into Africa? I mean, is it worth giving them a shot at it? What do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's worth it. I mean, they're going to pursue their interests, and they're going to try to do trade policies with them, compete with us for that. And again, you know, but the world and European countries need resources, and our country needs resources. So we're in a competitive mode with them. They're not going to war with us about it. It seems like these Zionist neocons and neocommies who control our government are the most warlike people of all, and the saber-rattling people of all. So my answer is, yeah, of course the Chinese, any country that's devoted to the well-being of their own people and have a long-term approach toward increasing their ability to get resources that we all need in an increasingly resource-barren world or used world, is going to try to pursue the interests of its own country, as we should. That doesn't make them intrinsically evil. And the truth is that the people who run our country are people. Just a second, I have to. My secretary is here, and I've got to sign a couple okay. bills for okay. a second. I'm done. I'm almost done.
Well, if you can keep one ear open, okay. I'd like to ask.
She's going to leave. That's why I got to sign these okay. checks. Okay,
energy,
I'm done.
I'd like to ask about when they were talking about energy in Iran. So talking about energy, President Trump said it was so great that America was energy independent now because, you know, now we don't have to be involved in all these, like, you know, with these foreign countries, these unstable foreign countries. But it seems to me that these wars that we had overseas weren't really wars for oil, that they were actually wars for Israel. And now that we're independent, does that mean that are we no longer involved in the Middle East now that we're energy independent? I mean, our main supplier of oil at the beginning of the century was Venezuela. Does that mean we're not interfering with Venezuela anymore?
Let me answer that question, you know, yeah. And again, you're right. You're spot on. And this, just look at it this way. Okay. There's no question no question at all that these wars are all about Israel. They're all about the interests of Israel and the Zionists that run Israel and the Zionists that run Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, right? And ABC and NBC and CBS and CNN, and or the biggest single bulk of contributors, the biggest giant billionaire contributors of both Democrats and Republicans. They're the biggest, most powerful contributors of both parties. They're the people who control academia. And they have led us into these horrifically catastrophic wars for America. I mean, the Iraq War is estimated, as a conservative estimate, to cost us $3 trillion. I mean, that's more than the entire budget of our country for a year. I mean, for everything. I mean, you're talking about defense, education, Social Security, whatever, everything. And so this was about Israel. And by the way, there's no doubt, and this is very important people to know at this election time, is that Donald Trump, all right, is considered by the Jews, and I can show you this in their own elite publications like the Jewish Forward and many other publications, as the greatest threat, security threat to Jews. I have a headline right here from the Forward the same way. I have another headline about Donald Trump and defeating Donald Trump. There's no question the Jewish establishment wants to defeat him. And one of the reasons why is because he was against those wars and he was resisting those wars. And he got up at on Hannity. He got up, in fact, at one of his recent rallies, and he just said to the people the truth. He said, listen, the only reason that we're in Afghanistan and the only reason we're in Iraq and the only reason we have these policies even against Iran and all these countries and Syria is for Israel. It's because we're doing this for Israel. But Trump is the same guy that has resisted and criticized all these wars and said they've been catastrophic for America, which they are. And they don't like anybody just saying the truth. When he got up before the Republican, the Republican Jewish Committee, he actually said, "You're not going to vote for me. You're not, you know, and you're not going to give me money because you don't want any candidate for president who you can't control with your money." This is why they hate him and part of his agenda and policies. And he's pleased them on some things. And he's tried to get them off his back by moving the embassy and trying to say that the acquisition of the Golan Heights, the annexation of it, which is totally illegal, which our government opposed during its entire time. We voted against, that the Israelis could remove from that country. So this is amazing when you really think about it, right? And they hate him. And I'm telling you, folks, anybody that thinks that, you know, that the Jewish establishment really wants Donald Trump because you can find a couple of Jews who are getting paid by him or something is just ignorant of the facts. They want to destroy Trump. They want to completely take over the House and Senate. They want total open borders for us, immediate legalization of illegal aliens in this country, probably up to 20 million. Biden said this. They want to shut down free speech for the American people or any people around the world who dared to defend Christian Western civilization, white people. This is like the final battle in a way. I mean, this is an incredibly epic battle that they're waging, and they really are so desperate to take over both houses, take over the presidency, and begin a process of completely silencing people like you and I and others in this movement all over the world, not just America. And that's something that we got to keep in mind this election. And this is reflected mm-hmm. in some of the foreign policy we're talking about here.
Okay. Now, I don't think Donald Trump listens to this show. Maybe Melania does. And if she does, I just want to say, hey, how you doing? But
when she gets divorced, you know, you'd be happy to take her out, right?
That's right. That's right. And I'm sure my wife wouldn't mind. But if Trump...
How could any wife not mind? I don't know if that's true.
Anyway, if Trump were listening, there's only, 10, 11 days before the election?
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as we would like him to just go, you know, full red pill and talk about exactly what's going on with the Jewish power at this point, I mean, we can't expect it. And I don't know if it would be advisable, because people need a little bit of time to figure out that they've been lied to all along. But what do you think President Trump should be emphasizing over these next 10 days? What are the two or three points that he should just pound on and pound on in order to get as many votes as he can?
There's some thunder outside. I hope we keep connection to the end of the show. Well, there's a few things. He should run on what I think is going to appeal to the heart and the soul and the mind and the spirit of the American people. I think a lot of Americans are absolutely appalled at these communists. And he has pointed that out before. In the first debate, he even did that better. Antifa and these communists and the leftist media celebrating and not protecting are monuments to the founders of this country. I mean, we're talking about George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. We're talking about the history of this country. We're talking about Christopher Columbus, who, if not for his elements, you know, it led directly to the creation of this constitutional republic that we call the United States of America, and the magnificence that this country, the great country it once was. And I think he needs to emphasize that. He's got to emphasize that the Democratic Party has been supportive of these people. They haven't even in the cities where these are massive. I mean, we're talking about thousands of cases of arson. We're talking about hundreds of cases where they were throwing Molotov cocktails. We're talking about gasoline-lit bombs at police officers. Now, in a normal state of affairs, that would be considered attempted murder. That would be considered arson, in fact, as well, when you throw it into a police station or something. How many people have been prosecuted for arson, which is a 20-year sentence in most states? I don't think hardly any of them have. There should be hundreds, if not thousands, of them should be prosecuted and treated like this. There's plenty of video out there, and there's plenty of ways they could do this investigation, but they're not doing it. And he should rely on that these people disrespect our flag. They disrespect our freedoms. I think he should really go into the social media and how they're lying to us, how they're controlling search engines, that they're even censoring the President of the United States' ability to speak to his own followers on social media. While at the same time, they're also censoring anything that reflects badly against Biden. And at the same time, they say they're trying to protect us from those damn Russians, like they're a communist or something, these damn Russians trying to influence the election. And yet 18 of the 20 biggest contributors to Clinton were Jewish radical Zionists. The whole Epstein ring was a big Mossad spy ring to control leaders in the Western world. It was entirely Jewish radical Jews. But nobody mentioned that in the major media. Nobody even talked about the relations of Ghislaine and Epstein to the spy, the biggest spy in Israeli history, her father, Robert Maxwell. I mean, this is the most important fact of our lives today. So he should talk about that. He should talk about the fact that he did do well with the economy, that you never had more unemployment. And he shouldn't talk about how he saved 2 million lives. He didn't. All those models were wrong. But he should emphasize that under Biden, you're liable to be locked down again. And a lockdown cost far more lives than if the virus would go to its natural community immunity position.
And this
should talk about that, because I don't think people are for the lockdowns anymore. Our masks.
Yeah, he made a couple of good points regarding coronavirus last night. One was that the cure shouldn't be worse than the disease. He said that. That was good. And the other was, you know, he's saying schools have to be open. You know, we have to be open. The businesses are dying. They have to be open. That part was good, but he doesn't speak very clearly. And then, of course, all of that business about if it had been Joe Biden, there would have been 2 million people who died from the coronavirus, which is nonsense. Now, I don't, like I say, I don't think Donald Trump.
I just saw Bill Gates today, by the way, and the media, the Zionist media, boasting about this. Bill Gates did this, and they treated it like this was the gospel from St. Gates, right? The Pearly Gates, maybe we could call them. And he said that, that these lockdowns and these masks and all these social distancing has to be kept all the way through the end of 2021 next year. I mean, the damage that this will do to so many millions of people, Not yet. Actually, hundreds and hundreds of millions of people will starve all over the world. There are people right now who had jobs, who were productive and they worked, who are now in lines lasting 4 hours to get food, to put food on their table. I mean, this is insane. And Trump talked about it. The suicide rate is going up.
That was
the
good.
The abuse rate's going up.
That's
was good.
What we should talk about.
That was good.
Okay, we're up on the last break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back to the show. That is Thursday by Filbert Applebag. So we just have a few minutes left. And I've always been saying, I think this is an extremely important election. And I've been comparing what's going on now with what was going on in the end days of the Soviet Union, 1990-1991. But Dr. Duke, you worked with Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote so much about the beginning days of the Russian of the Soviet Union, the Russian Revolution. Are there any parallels?
Yes, and I can tell you, Doctor, I'm so thankful of the ability to get to know him and work with him in the Russian archives, and also interview and talk with people, even in the 1990s when I first went to Russia, and then later when I was there for 5-6 years teaching and researching, and from 2000 to 2006. And during that period, you know, I've met many survivors, and I discovered, you know, the greatest threat to humanity and the details of how the greatest threat to humanity came about. The Russian Revolution wasn't Russian. It was a worldwide Jewish-led communist revolution, Bolshevik revolution. And they created this regime through terror, with murder, with intimidation. And these people that run the New York Times and even the neocons still revere at their parties and stuff like that, their private parties. Leon Trotsky, the first head of the Red Army. And I learned that over the last 100 years, literally, just about exactly 100 years, the greatest threat to humanity has been the rise of international Jewish communism. And I really believe that it's not exactly like the Bolsheviks in some way. It's kind of like a mix between a global capital and communism. But just as the global capitalists, like Kahn and Loeb Company, literally financed the so-called Russian Communist Revolution, now we have this unholy alliance. This is really a Zio-Bolshevik alliance, and they're trying to take away all of our freedoms, our freedoms of speech and thought. And more than that, they're not only trying to take away our culture and our values and our faith, but they're also trying to eliminate us from the planet. And that's exactly what they are doing. In state after state, you can look at the demographics here in the country. You can look at it nationwide around the world. So this is the most critical election, because they want a Bolshevik, I believe, modeled type society with no free speech. It's going to look better on the outside. It'd be all glitzy, like Christ talked about the whited sepulchres, but full of dead men's bones. But underneath all that is going to be complete censorship, complete corruption, imprisonment of those who don't agree with them, and the silencing of people they don't like and ideas they don't like. It is the chaining of the human mind and the human spirit, and the destruction of not only Western mankind, European mankind, which I dearly love, but also humanity across the world. This is the great election. We have to try to get every Republican voted in, even if they're not all perfect. Obviously, Donald Trump is far from perfect, but we need him in the presidency. And we need just a little more time to continue to organize and spread our truth, rather than having a very rapid descending, as Orwell would say, a descending boot upon our face.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me. That's all we have time for today. But on Sunday, November 1st, Dr. Duke and I will be on Mark Collett's live stream for a pre-election special. Mark will give us all the details about that on Monday, on the Monday show. And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.